You can be seated. Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Psalm, chapter number 84 in your Bibles. The book of Psalms, chapter number 84. We're just walking through the Bible and looking and studying the passages of Scripture as we walk through. We've been on a series now for 6 years. That's a long series. Amen. But it's been a good series, and thank the Lord, there's so much in the Bible. And you know what's amazing? As you study a passage of Scripture, you can't possibly even reveal all that's in there. The Bible is so rich and so full, there's so much in it. Do you realize how many sermons have been formed out of John 3:16? I mean, it's endless. It's endless. And such is the psalm that we're going to look at today. Charles Spurgeon said that Psalm 84 is the pearl of all the psalms. Now that's saying something, amen? And we looked at probably about half of it last week. But there's so much more that we want to look at in the passage. And so we're going to begin here, Psalm 84. We're going to read the entire psalm and then get into the lesson this morning. Psalm 84, and let's begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we need your help and your spirit this morning and your powers. We teach the lesson today. We ask for your help and your strength, God. We need to hear from you. And Lord, we know that thy word is the great need of our day. And I pray this morning that you take thy word and multiply it to each person, to each heart, Lord, that thy word would sink deep into our hearts and in our minds. Lord, it's not something that man has created. It's something that God has brought down to us, that we may have it and know it. We thank you for thy word this morning. So bless it, we pray, in these few moments as we look at it. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you remember, Psalms is divided into 5 separate books. We are in book number 3, essentially, which deals with the sanctuary of God. The actual sanctuary of God was known as the temple at the time. That was the place where God's house was at the time. You know, there's always been a house of God in the Bible. There's always been a place where people could go that was called God's house, where they could honor God and worship God. And but it's also referring to other places that we can go and get alone with God. Have you ever had a time where you've gone out, say, in the woods, or you've driven your car into a quiet place, and you opened your Bible and you just spent time with God? I've had times where I'll go out to a lake and just sit there and look at the lake and think about God and think about spiritual things and let everything else in life just drift away and make a little tabernacle, make a sanctuary, so to speak, out of my time with God. You ever done that? I'll tell you what, those are some of the sweetest times in life. Those are times that we can draw close to God. And I'll tell you, if you're saved today and you're a child of God, there's something very important in our life that we must understand. And that is we've got to stay close to God. We've got to stay as close to God as we possibly can. And I think that is the essence of Psalm 84. It's this closeness with God coupled with the house of God. And also just in places, wherever we go, there should be a closeness to God. I think we should wake up every morning and have this communication with God right when we wake up in the morning. Have you ever had times when you wake up and the devil wants to sit on your shoulder? You ever had that happen? He'll sit on anybody's shoulder, and you know what you have to do? You have to get rid of him with the Word of God. Amen? You ever quote a Bible verse to the devil? Amen. The devil needs a Bible verse sometimes. Amen? I like that verse, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Amen? I like Scripture, and we need Scripture as a defense against Satan. Amen? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So this closeness with God is represented here in Psalm chapter 84. And I want you to know that if you look at the heading on your Bible, maybe some of you have this heading, maybe some of you don't, but it says here in my Bible, "To the chief musician upon Gittith," which is an instrument, "a psalm for the sons of Korah." Now, Korah was a Levite descendant. He was a descendant in the line of Levites. I think it was about four descendants down. But he was a Levite. He was one who took care of the house of God. And God gave the Levites that portion, that their portion would be God's house. And so we see this passage of Scripture here come alive, and we'll look at some of the first half that we looked at last week just to set in our mind what's happening in the text and the context. But then we're going to mainly look at verse number 8 through 12 today as we focus on what this passage is teaching. So once again, notice verse 1. He says, "How amiable," the word amiable means beloved, "are thy tabernacles." Notice it's plural, and it means that there's other places. There's a place you can go and serve God. Hey, there are places where you can go and find God. Amen? Where do you find God? You find God in the stillness. You find God in the quiet. Amen? You find a quiet place with God. I hope you have a quiet place with God every day. We need that. We so need that. If you don't have a quiet place with God, you need to find a quiet place every day where you can talk with God. You know how we know? Why? Because God wants to talk to us. God wants to speak to us. And God wants you to return that conversation in prayer. Prayer is you talking to God. The Bible is God talking to you. So we need that communication that we have with God. And so he's saying, I can find God in places. There are times when it's quiet. There's times when I've been out in my car and just pull over. I remember being out in the Texas country one time, and I just pulled over alongside the road, and I just poured my heart out to God. Those are good times. Those are great times. How amiable, how beloved are the tabernacles. These are these places where we find God. O Lord of hosts. Now notice verse 2. My soul longeth. My soul longeth. The word longeth means becomes pale. My soul becomes pale without God. Yea, even fainteth for the courts of my Lord, of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. These are God's very important things that we need to follow in understanding that there should be a hunger to be with God. You know, when you come to church, church is a place where you can have that hunger for God revealed and satisfied. That's what I like about church. Church is a spiritual restaurant. Amen? You don't have to cook it up. Someone cooks it up for you. Amen? I knew that would get a Baptist crowd excited when you talk about food. But the food of God is put on the table and it nourishes our soul. It feeds our soul. We need this longing, but we also need to be fed. Not just the longing, but the satisfaction of the longing is the food of God. Can I tell you what? The Word of God is what ought to feed us. The Bible. The Bible. We feed on a lot of things in this earth and there's not much nourishment. Amen. My doctor told me, he said, you can eat a lot of foods, but there's not a lot of food that has nourishment in it. He was really trying to nicely tell me, stop eating the stuff you've been eating. Amen. And start eating the good stuff. Amen. That's what he was really saying. And, you know, that's really what God says to us. He says, there's some good stuff in the Bible. There's some good stuff in the Word if you'll take the Word. And you'll just feed on the Word. The Word of God is good. The Word of God is important. And so we see this longing soul. And then he says in verse 3, he says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now, we see this longing here for a place to worship God. Can I tell you what that place is? That's the church. God made a church as a place to worship God. It's the pillar and ground of truth. And so God says, hey, come to my house. Be in my house. Be faithful to my house. Why? It's the place you get fed. It's the place you get fed. One of the things that I wanted from my grandmother when she passed away, I got one thing that I like. You know what it is? It is my grandmother's dinner bell. I got my grandma's dinner bell. And it sits right on top of my refrigerator. And I will never forget my grandmother. She was 98 pounds, soaking wet and full of bananas. She was this little lady, but man, she was dynamite. You didn't cross my grandma. If you crossed grandma, man, she had a way of making you feel about that high. Amen. So I learned respect grandma. But when dinner was ready, she'd walk out on that porch. She didn't say anything. She just rang the bell. And guess what that meant? It's time to feed. Amen. You know, I noticed this about us. Human nature, we'll put everything aside to stop and eat, right? I mean, you may have a busy day, but you're going to fit food in somewhere, right? And can I tell you what? That's how it ought to be spiritually in our life. You may have a lot of busyness and a lot of things going on in your life, but don't forget you need to be fed. You need to be fed. And the Word of God is what provides that food. We need that. So there's a hunger here. And then he talks about this dwelling place, verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. It means to stay there. There ought to be times when we just soak in the Word. You know, being out in this world has a way of getting a hard shell on us. Do you know that? The world will put a hard shell on you. But God wants us to keep our hearts soft and tender to Him. And if we'll do that, if we'll keep our hearts tender, God's provided His house as a refuge for that. The house of God has a way of just keeping us tender, keeping our hearts soft to God. And so He's saying here, Blessed is the are they that dwell in thy house, that they still be praising thee, Selah. That word Selah means so be it. It's our equivalent to saying amen. We see that. Blessed is the man, verse 5, whose strength is in thee. Oh, listen, this world promotes this strength that comes from man. But I have news for you. Man doesn't have any strength. The only strength we have is from God. God is our strength. God must be our strength, or you will flounder in weakness in life. As a Christian, you go through some valleys, and sometimes those valleys are really deep. And you need strength in those valleys. And God provides that strength. God provides the strength in those valleys. And then he talks about passing through the valley of Baca. Verse 6, we looked at this last week, and Baca means weeping or to weep and to cry. And it's saying that these are valleys in our life that we need or that we have, that we need the strength of God. And God provides strength in the valley. Now, verse 7 is really interesting. Notice what it says. They go from strength to strength. Now, typically, when a person's on a journey, they go from strength to weariness, right? We go from strength to weariness, and then you go from weariness to just plumb worn out, right? You ever reach these points where you are just done, tired? You ever reach those points? Miss Jordan back here, she knows all about that. Amen. But you reach this point, and this is what God is saying here. He's saying we reach these points where we want to bottom out. But the one who knows God goes from strength to strength, not from strength to weariness. God is a constant supply of strength to the Christian. And it doesn't matter what valley you go through. It doesn't matter how hard. And we face a lot of hard times. We face things that we don't understand. We go through things and situations that, man, they're very cloudy. We don't know why God sends us through these things. You know, I know one day we'll know when we get to heaven. God will make it all clear. But until then, we just have to trust in God and go from strength to strength and just keep our strength in God. Man has no strength, but God is the one that provides that strength. Now we're going to pick up in verse number 8 here, and we're going to look at the rest of the passage we missed last week. So we'll look at verse number 8. It says here, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Now, he gives God two different names here. He calls him, first of all, the Lord of hosts. Now, if you notice back in the Old Testament, this phrase is used a lot, the Lord of hosts. And what it means is that God is the controller and the owner of all. It even goes to the sun, the moon, and the stars. I have an actual illustration like that today. Amen. It means God is over all. He's the Lord of the hosts. He is the controller of the stars, the sun, the moon, all the galaxies. God is over all of that. He is the Lord of hosts. And then he also ascribes God as the God of Jacob. Now, you say, which one is it? It's both. God is both. The God of Jacob is this picture of God's blessing. You remember how God blessed Abraham? And he uses the phrase Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's because through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God gave that blessing, and God used them to fulfill his will with the people of God. And so God says here, all right, Give ear, O God of Jacob. He's asking for God's blessings, is what he's saying. God, you control all. You're the Lord of hosts, but you're also the God of Jacob. You're the God of blessings. I don't know about you. I don't know in life what you need, but I certainly want to have the blessings of God on my life. Amen? We need that. We need that in this world. Verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield. Now that word shield, we looked at this. It's used also in this passage, but it actually means the hide of a crocodile. Isn't that interesting? The hide of a crocodile. I wanted to see this week. I was looking this week at a video, and I was trying to see what the hide of a crocodile. You know, they do a lot of things with crocodile hides. They make boots out of crocodile hides. I mean, if you want something tough and armory, you use a crocodile hide. And this is what it's saying. God, you are our protector. Nothing can penetrate when we are close to you. Nothing can defeat us. You are our shield, God. God, there's a protection there that God provides. Man, I'm glad of that. God provides a protection, a shield, a crocodile hide, if you will, over us and is our protector. Then we go to verse 10. He says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness. Now the court, there was the tabernacle that had, it had a court where the Gentiles could come. It was called the court of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles could come worship God. They weren't Jews, but they could come and worship God. And God welcomed the Gentiles. This was even before the cross. God wanted them to come, and they had a place where they could come and worship God also. And he's talking about this whole court. It means that God welcomes anyone who wants to come to him and receive him. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad that God welcomes anyone to come to him. Anyone. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God does not exclude anyone. He wants all men to come to him and receive him. That's why we have Bible school, so the kids can come to Christ. The court is open. His house is open for his people. You know, unfortunately, in the day and age we live, a lot of people neglect God's house. A lot of people neglect God's house. And that's why they have so many troubles and sins and heartache in life. Because the court of God is a place where we get our minds and our hearts refreshed. It's the transforming of the word that works in our heart and our mind. Thank God for that. Without that closest to God, we drift, we wander into sin. Our human natures take us into the wrong paths, don't they? They lead us into ways that we should not go. But if we go those ways, we sure get in a lot of trouble with God and brings us defeat and brings us a lot of trouble. You know, there's a lot of people who will come to God if they realize that he is the answer to their need. A lot of people will. He is the answer to their need. I believe God allows a lot of people to go through trials and a lot of problems in life to draw men to him. God allows a lot of heartache in people's lives to draw us closer to him. He is trying to direct us in the trouble, in the trial, to God. And God's trying to teach us that the only place we can go sometimes is to call out to the Lord. But that's a good thing. That's a good place to be. Amen. That's a good place to be. And so God wants us to do that. And this is what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, I'd rather be a day in your courts is better than a thousand. And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, a doorkeeper was somebody who would wait at the threshold. That's what it means, somebody who waits at the threshold. They open and close the door for those going in and out. It means that they have to be there early before everyone gets there, and they stay late so that everyone can get out. They're a doorkeeper. And they're also, the idea of this doorkeeper is this janitor. They keep the house of God clean. They take care of the house of God. There's paper on the floor. They pick it up. They clean it. And that's the idea of a doorkeeper here. And you know what the psalmist is saying? He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper of the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather have a lowly place serving God than I would some exalted place where the world is. Well, I'll tell you, that ought to be our heart also. There ought to be something about this world that every Christian it doesn't satisfy. It causes us a disdain. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the day when God comes again. I'm looking forward to leaving this old world and getting to heaven. But I want to take as many as I can with me on the way. See, God wants to take us and use our life, and he has to do it when we draw close to him and get close to him. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. There are people in life who think that the world has this answer. It shines. It looks so beautiful. I got news to tell you. It's not beautiful. The world is not beautiful at all. You say, well, the grass gets greener on the other side of the fence. Hey, that's because there's a sewer on the other side of the fence. Yeah. But it's not greener, I'll tell you. The world may be fun and enjoyable for a little while, but after a while, it catches up. And when it gets a hold of you, it doesn't want to let you go. It wants to become attached. And it's a hard, hard thing to break. So it's best to always just stay a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'd just rather be close to God, is what he's saying. As close as I can get to God, I'd just like to stay right there. Boy, what a wonderful life that is. What a wonderful life. And so the psalm writer's teaching us that. Now, we go to verse number 11. We see, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Well, I got a sun. I got an illustration right up here today. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. You think of the size of the sun. You can put over 1,000 earths in the size of a sun. The sun just keeps burning and burning and burning. And God is the one who continually keeps the sun burning. And boy, if you live in Oklahoma in the summer, you know that sun just keeps on burning and burning and burning. Thank God for the rain, by the way, man. Woo! I like the rain. Equates the sun to God. When you're cold, the sun gives you warmth. That sun, well, where would we be without the sun? We'd have total darkness all the time. And we'd have defeat, depression. I started a church years ago in Oregon. And during the winter time, it's nothing but rain that comes right through there in the jet stream by the Columbia River. Nothing but rain, 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 rain. And you know, people get depressed in the winter time there because there's just one rainstorm after another. It just rain, rain, rain. I'd take some of that down here in Oklahoma. Amen. It's just rain, rain, rain. And people get depressed. Can you imagine, though, if we didn't have any sun, how defeated we'd get? And the psalm writer says, God, you are our sun. You know, another characteristic of the sun is that it's always going to come up. The sun's faithful, isn't it? That sun is going to come right up. And you may or may not wish it to come up that day, but it's going to come up because God put it in its course. And God is like that sun. He will always show up. He will be there. He will be there. God's faithful. God is faithful. And so this is the expression of the psalm writer. He said, Lord, God's a sun and a shield. You know, sometimes you need protection. You get burnt. Amen? God is the shield. He protects us. He protects us from the enemy. He's our sun. He's our warmth. He's faithful. And yet God still continues to protect us. I've had times in my life where I remember one time I was driving in the mountains. And the road, it went from a 4-lane down to a 2-lane, but somebody had hit the little rubber cones that there, and they were scattered everywhere. And you couldn't tell the difference from the outgoing traffic or the incoming traffic. It was 2-lane, and it was a dark night, it was raining, and you couldn't see to start with. And I'm in the mountains, and I've got my family with me. We're in a van and we're driving, and I don't know how it happened, but there was a car coming straight towards me. I slammed on my brakes, and he must have gotten over. I don't know. You know, it all happened so split second, just like that. And this guy passes me. I could actually see for a bright minute the lights. You know how the lights kind of hit and they kind of flash? I could see this guy's eyes looking at me. He couldn't have been that far away when he passed. But when he passed, his eyes were like this. I mean, his eyes were what I was feeling too. You know, whew. And when that car passed, I to this day do not know how in the world God got us through that. But I'll tell you what. God's going to protect us. God's going to take care of us. And you know what? When he's done with us, he'll take us home. Amen. Amen. And by the way, nothing will stop that timetable. So God's a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. I'm glad I don't have to live life without the grace of God. I'm glad the grace of God is able to touch our hearts in all our trials, in all our burdens. And, you know, you find the grace of God when you draw close to him. You see his grace. And just the goodness that God has. It's a wonderful thing to walk in his grace. And, you know, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. You may not have all of life's answers solved. You may not have all of your difficulties vanquished, but you can walk with the grace of God in them. You can walk with the grace of God. God will give grace and he'll give glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now that's an encouragement to me to just continue to walk uprightly. Keep living for God. Go to God for that daily cleansing. being cleansed by God every day. You know, it's amazing how just kind of cobwebs can come in your heart during a day. And God says, come to me every day and I'll cleanse you. Keep a short account with God. Cleansing, that daily cleansing. Well, we need that. We need that. And so he says here, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Lord, keep me on your path. Keep me upright. Keep me walking in your ways. And Lord, when I get off, would you direct me back? Amen. Lord, when I stray, even just a short bit, just a little bit, help me to recognize that, Lord, and lead me back to where I ought to be. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, I wonder how many good things sometimes God's people miss because we miss walking uprightly. I wonder. It's a challenge to me to every day to just yield myself to God. Say, Lord, you didn't make me for me to live for me today. You made me to live for you. Help me to live for you today. And that is God's source of blessing. He won't withhold them that are uprightly. And I think that means that God, there's prayers that God will answer because we walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, we go lastly to verse number 12. And again, he calls on the Lord of hosts, the Lord of everything, God, creator of all. As far as this universe extends, God, you are in control of this. You are the Lord of hosts. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The word blessed in this passage means happy. It means there's a joy and a happiness for that Christian who trusts in God. He's happy. He just happy. There's an inward satisfaction there. Why? Because he's trusting in God. He's trusting in God. God's going to take him through anything. Boy, God will take you through anything. If God could take Job through anything, he can take you through anything. God can take us through anything. And you know, there are things that God will put in our path. There are times in our life when we don't understand. Can I tell you something? God will guide you through it. Happy is that man that trusts in the Lord. I take great joy knowing that I don't have to understand everything today, but there's a day that I will understand. There's a day when I will know what God was doing. And that gives me joy. You know, if God wanted me to know everything now, he'd tell me. He'd tell me. Same with you. If God wanted you to know everything now, he'd tell you. But he's revealed in his word what he wants us to know. If he told us everything, we wouldn't always have faith in him. We wouldn't always trust him. We wouldn't always depend on ourselves. God wants us to look to him, to depend on him for our strength every day. Why? Because God doesn't withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. Now, I've learned this in life. Sometimes I think something is good for me and I ask God for it. You ever done that? God, I want this. And God says, no. And there are times when I don't understand God. God, I want that. Would you give that to me? And you pray for something and it doesn't happen. And God sometimes says, no. Hey, that's an opportunity to still trust God. Because God will not withhold any good thing. He knows that maybe that thing, if we had it, maybe it would affect us or hurt us. It might cause us to eventually turn from God. or affect our testimony. So we have to say, Lord, if you say no in my life, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And the Bible says in that there is a lot of happiness. Happy is that man. Happy is the man that trusteth in thee. Oh, listen. Trust God no matter what. Trust God. And the whole context of this trust in God is this understanding and this idea that when I draw close to Him, when I get on my face or when I read my Bible, when I draw close to Him in His tabernacle, and when I'm close to God, I have that strength to trust the Lord. You know, the times I don't trust the Lord are the times when I'm not close to God. The times I don't trust the Lord are the times I'm looking at things from my own view are the times I'm not close to God. And so God's trying to teach us, hey, blessed is that man that trusts in God. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord over all. God will make everything clear one day. You know, the Bible talks about God. One day He's going to wipe all our tears away. When He wipes all those tears, won't that be a great day? No more tears after that. God will wipe all those tears away. I think God then will show us what His plan was and how He was working and what He was accomplishing through those things. Because, you know, there's some things that God can only accomplish through us drawing close to God in our situations in life. The Lord's Son, He's a shield, He'll protect her. But you know, a Christian has to hold on to this truth that all I have to do in my life is follow God, walk close to Him, stay close to Him in His Word. And you know what? God will take care of all the rest. And He will. He will. God will take care of all the rest. There have been some times, and I'll never forget, there was a time when I needed a car. And I was driving down the road, and I think we had 5 kids at the time. And I saw a station wagon. It was a little Ford station wagon. I was sitting at a gas station. Had a sign on it, $2,500. Okay, that's not bad. I drove by it next week, $2,000. I said, Lord, I need that car. Lord, would you give me that car? I drove by the next week, $1,500. I said, now I know the Lord's going to give me that car. I said, Lord, would you give me that car? And I prayed. And by the way, it's not wrong to pray for an actual need that you need. Amen? It's not wrong to pray that way. And I asked God, I said, God, I need that car. Would you please bless me with that car? I drove by that next week. It was gone. I said, Lord, you sold my car. What happened to my car, Lord? It was gone. You know what, friend? The very next week, a man walked into my office. He said, Preacher, you need a car, don't you? I didn't tell anybody. I said, yes, I do. He said, all right, you got a dollar? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm not going to give it to you, but I'm going to sell it to you for a dollar. I pulled a dollar out of my wallet, gave it to him. He gave me the title to a car. You know, God answered that prayer. He just did it how He wanted it to be done. And we have to trust the Lord in those situations that He'll do what He wants done in our life too. Amen? All right, we're going to stop right there. I've gone over, as usual. But we're going to stop right there. We'll pick up Psalm 85.